From the Haunted Attraction Network, this is Haunting the Globe, a show about haunted attractions. Remember to receive show notes for this episode and to be notified when future episodes are available, text the code HAUNTING to 33444. That's HAUNTING, HAUNTING, to the number 33444. Today we're exploring Laura's journey of founding and producing Scare Los Angeles. Scare Los Angeles is the first convention dedicated to Halloween. Situated in the entertainment capital of the world, they celebrate the scare season traditions by giving Halloween an early start every summer. It might seem a bit odd to discuss a convention on a show about haunted attractions. However, Scare-LA is a convention that is breaking conventions. In fact, beyond the presentations, classes, experiences, and other activities planned, Scare-LA will be producing an original haunted attraction just for this year's convention. Many of our listeners understand the difficulties behind running a haunted attraction, and Laura's story speaks to many of the same challenges, from assuming personal risk, to dealing with those frequent moments of doubt, to building out your team, and the need to create the job that you want to do in this world. Laura's story is a trough of information and inspiration. Stay tuned at the end of the episode for a coupon for 20% off your Scare-LA tickets. All right, let's cast a dark spell on summer with Scare-LA.
This is a Haunted Attraction Network production.
This is Haunting the Globe. Short but intense interviews from haunted attractions around the world.
My name is Laura Ivanova, founder and executive producer of Scare-LA, the world's first convention dedicated to the spirit of Halloween.
What should someone expect of Scare-LA?
Scare-LA captures the atmosphere of a Halloween night and puts it right smack in the middle of a typical summer weekend. We have prepared so many surprises for our guests and so many things to delight, surprise, and trick and treat them. We have over 200 hours of programming, which include panels and presentations from the great names of the horror and Halloween industry, top filmmakers and celebrities who will be coming together on the Scare-LA stage and sharing their 2016 Halloween plans and talking about some of the most notorious and loved titles in the genre. We also have close to 4 days worth of programming in our class schedule. We have prepared a little bit of something for monsters of all ages, and this includes makes and takes, brushing up on your costume skills, learning how to do crazy makeup with household materials, learning how to do spooky music, cook, and entice your guests this Halloween with special drinks and cocktails that will be a complete surprise. We are also one of the most interactive conventions that exist today, with a full lineup of multiple interactive and immersive experiences on site. This is over 10 mini mazes and haunted experiences that all guests can walk through and experience as if it's just another October 31st. Joining us in 2016 is also Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, who is this year's official host for Scare-LA 2016, Season of the Witch. She will be at the convention for both days, taking photos with fans and giving them a chance to meet Hollywood's and Halloween's greatest names throughout history.
So there's going to be something for anybody, whether you just like the Halloween vibe and you like experiencing Halloween a little bit early, whether you like dressing up and going to the costume events, whether you like learning, whether you like interactive experiences. It really kind of straddles the different spheres of conventions here. I mean, it's not just one of those Comic-Con type things of going and seeing famous people. It's much more. It's interaction. It's learning. It's, you know, it's not just education. It's not just a show floor. It's kind of straddling a middle ground in between all of these established genres.
Absolutely. Scare-LA is the place for you to come and meet your idols, but it's also a place where you can connect with fellow fans, network, and find collaborators for your future projects. We also have over 200 vendors who will be exhibiting on the Scare-LA show floor. So if you want to get started on your shopping for Halloween early, this is the place to be.
Walk us through a little bit of the tickets. How much are they? What's included in the different tiers? Just so the people listening understand the value up there.
At Scarlet, we have designed our ticketing to be as easy to navigate, but also provide you a custom-tailored experience based on your needs. Our general admission tickets start at $30, and they give you access to all of our stage programming, mini haunt experiences, show floor, and a lot of amazing interactive exhibits and museums. Our Fear Freak passes give you preferred seating and admission. So if you are one of those people who is always eager to get in the door and be there first, Fear Freak pass is the way to go. Next up, we have the Scare Student Pass, and this is for our most curious monsters. This is for the people who want to take advantage of our extensive education programming. And in that pass is included not only your admission to the classes and our scheduling system, which allows you to book your class participation in advance, but also it includes all of the supplies and materials you're going to need for all the make and takes that you want to attend. If you want to make creepy tombs or costumes or masks, once you get the Scare Student Pass, you can enjoy all of the Scare Student programming with no additional cost. Last but not least, we have the ultimate package for the VIP monster. And those packages come with front-of-line access to every single piece of programming through the show, absolutely no lines and no wait times, as well as pre-reserved seating on the front row for any of our popular panels and presentations. Many of our stage programming panels are extremely popular, and they get full pretty quickly. So if you want to make sure that you absolutely get to the one that you've been looking for all year and see that creator or haunt or movie that you've always dreamt to see, this is going to get you the seat on the front row so that you can enjoy the programming in the best way possible, as well as a great goodie bag with special surprises from all of our vendors on the show floor, and a free limited edition Scarlet t-shirt that you can show off your Scare Pride with.
On that note, why don't you, if you can, go ahead and give me two examples of each of the different programming elements so that our listeners can get a more specific idea of what the different elements are going to entail.
So here are some spooky examples of the amazing programming that we have prepared for you this August. From the classroom program, we have Steve Neal, a gentleman with over 40 years of experience as a makeup director for movies such as Ghostbusters, Star Trek, and Fright Night. He will be teaching a two-hour-long sculpting class for anybody at any level who wants to get a sneak peek and potentially get started in a career of professional makeup and design. You will learn how to make masks and develop full-fledged characters in that two-hour time frame. So this is one class that I'm particularly excited about. Another example is the class led by Joanne Latimer. She will be focusing on motion and developing characters through movement for not only the haunt, but also the film industry. So you will get a chance to workshop with her and work on your own creepy walk or movement with which you can either spook your friends or potentially launch yourself into a career in the horror film industry. In the screening room, we have incredible titles such as Rodney Asher's The Nightmare, which focuses on the very intense experience of sleep paralysis and all of the psychological elements that are revolving around that. We will also be showing the Blackout Experiments, a deep and fascinating look into the world of extreme horror interactive experiences. So this is really for the diehards or for anybody that is maybe a little bit too scared to experience those type of experiences themselves, but are curious about what motivates somebody to subject themselves to a really intense and immersive horror environment. So these are a couple of titles that I'm really looking forward to on the Scarlet Silver Screen. And not to forget the Tales of Halloween, who will be showing exclusively at Scarlet this summer, and you will get a chance to not only see the movie, but also meet some of the extremely talented filmmakers all throughout the Los Angeles area. This is one of the classic Halloween genre movies that probably we haven't seen anything of that caliber since Trick or Treat, and it's really very exciting to have it come to our screen as well this August.
Yeah, you know, for one, I am absolutely overjoyed that Tales of Halloween is going to come because I have been trying. I got Netflix DVD just so I could get that DVD, because it's listed on Netflix DVD, and they don't have any copies. So,
oh, no.
And I have been, like, you know, unable to watch this, and I have seen the reviews and seen all the stuff about it, so I saw that on the programming screening room come up, and I just about fell out of my chair. I'm very excited. It's a very good opportunity. I'm going to be sitting in there watching that.
And who knows, if you get lucky, they might even have some free copies on hand to give out. So I would definitely be in that room expecting the screening. And we are showing it on Saturday towards the later part, close of the show, so you can get ready for our costume party immediately after the convention closes and get into a really great mood right before you go off and have a ball for the rest of the evening with the rest of the attendees. On the Scarolet stages, we have presentations from really the greatest names of the haunt industry. Both Universal Studios Hollywood Halloween Horror Nights, as well as Not Scary Farm, will be doing special presentations, unveiling some of their 2016 plans, and connecting and meeting in person with the fans and thousands of fans that come through their haunts and mazes every year. You will learn about the thought process that goes behind designing some of those mazes and the incredible intellectual property that's attached to them, such as The Exorcist, The Walking Dead, and so many more. We are also going to have a large cast of Sci-Fi's previous contestants who will be joining us on the Scarolet stage talking about their experience in the makeup industry, as well as the leaders of the immersive horror experience wave here in California, who will be talking about some of their darkest nightmares and dreams and what propels them into creating those experiences for thousands of fans every October. Some of the haunt experiences and horror immersive experiences will be represented at the Scarolet stage are Haunted Flake Delusion, Alone, Creep LA, 17th Door, Screenshot Productions, and so many more. We're also going to be looking at the psychological aspect of fear. We will have renowned scientists talking about what makes horror horror and why we are programmed the way we are and to respond to stressful situations and to even enjoy frightful experiences. We will have a panel focused on virtual reality, which is arguably the future of some of those horror experiences 2016 and beyond, not only for gaming, but also video content, interactive content, the ability to potentially be in an immersive setting with either your friends and complete strangers as you're sitting in the middle of your living room.
Wow. What a lineup. And those are just a few examples of each area.
On Saturday night, we have a special treat for all of our guests. We have prepared the Witching Hour. This is Scarolet's costume party, which will feature celebrities from the hard rock and music industries, as well as zombie and witch burlesque, and so many other theme acts, which will be really fascinating to watch and dance to through the rest of the evening. So just when you think the convention has taken a stop and maybe is over, you have a chance to go back to your room at the hotel, put your best garbs if you haven't already, and just party for the rest of the night with fellow horror Halloween lovers.
Excellent.
This year, we've really taken a step further in the interactive elements of our show. One thing that I'm particularly excited about is our witchy zipline. So you will be able to enjoy over 100-foot-long zipline that is suspended right at the entrance of the convention center. So if you want to go, for example, from the vendor floor into one of the classes, instead of walking in the sunlight, you can zip on a witch's broom and be there in just a matter of seconds. This will be a very popular attraction for all of our attendees of all ages that I'm extremely personally excited about and slightly terrified because I'll be honest, I have a bit of a fear of heights, so I'm not sure. It's such a great idea. I had to do it. But whether or not I'll be on one of those brooms remains to be seen.
I will.
You better.
So y'all listening out there, watch. I'm going to be sending in my warlock picture of me zipping across. I guess it's warlock or it's wizard, I think, probably. I always get the two confused.
Another interactive experience that we're really looking forward to this year is our dark magic game. We will have our partners from Gantam and Real Guys combining cosplay and technology to create a gameplay for thousands of attendees on the show floor and throughout the Scarolet venue. You will be able to interact with fellow attendees, cast dark spells on them, and potentially turn them into bewitched characters and zombies who can then haunt and infect everybody else around them. Other than having wizard battles, this is going to really be about as close as you can get to a real-life role-play game experience in the convention setting.
Excellent.
Some other things that you can enjoy at the Scarolet show floor that are completely immersive and interactive is our Slider Zone. Watch some of the world's top sliding performances with a special lineup just for Scarolet, In our mini haunt areas, you will see interactive experiences from Creep LA, Field of Screams, Heretic, Sick House, and many others in which you can actually walk through small mazes and terrify yourself and your friends. A stage with freak show acts and special performances will also be in that space. So while you're waiting in line, you're not wasting any time. You're still enjoying an incredible lineup of performers and entertainers that are just there to make you scream. In our story room, you get to immerse yourself in a haunted campground and hear stories from Wicked Lit, who is one of the leading immersive theater groups here in Los Angeles, talking about the scary experiences of Halloween, not only in the U.S., but in other cultures, as well as TAPS from Paranormal Investigations, who will be showing and demonstrating real-life recordings and footage from some of their investigations in some of the most haunted spaces and places in the U.S. If you'd like to do something that is not at all interactive but still has an incredible ambiance, enter Scarlet's Horror Museum and take a walk through over 100 square feet of incredible collections from some of the world's greatest horror movie titles and haunted houses throughout the U.S. Also, for the first time ever in 2016, Scarlet will be launching its very first maze specifically designed for the attendees of the convention. But we can't spoil it yet, so we're not going to tell you much more about it. Just stay tuned and be sure to buy your tickets for Scarlet so you can immerse yourselves in over 1,000 square feet of terror right at the Scarlet convention show floor.
Laura, what I want to do now is I want to take a step back and I want to examine the journey that brought you here. Much like our listeners that have haunted houses of their own, this is an entrepreneurial journey. It started with a dream, it started with a concept, it started with a passion. So take us back and walk us through the inception of the idea and some of the hurdles that you have faced along your journey.
To talk a little bit about the origins of Scare LA, it really has been a very exciting and surreal journey for me. Some of the early steps in my career in the Halloween and horror industry, I became one of the first team members to join and ultimately launch Haunted Play Delusion, which became one of the hit experiences in Los Angeles during the October timeframe and was later co-produced by Neil Patrick Harris as well as John Braver, the creator of the show. It was really an incredibly valuable experience for me to be a part of the inception of a show like Haunted Play Delusion because I had a chance to see firsthand the effort, the love, and the sacrifice that goes into creating a horror and a haunted style experience, and not only just coming up with a vision and building it, but also putting yourself on the line and taking a personal risk and really the kind of anticipation and anxiety that comes with creating something that audiences have never before experienced. When the doors opened on the first night of the show, I will never forget the energy and excitement that we all felt as the first patrons were exiting the immersive experiences, and their eyes were just lit up. You could tell that they've gone through something transformative and something incredible. Haunted Play Delusion is the first horror haunt experience that involved live stunt work in the midst of professional Hollywood grade effects. It was created by one of the stunt coordinators for movies like Indiana Jones, Batman, and really brought what you see on the screen and some of those incredible titles in live right in front of you. You have people crawling up the walls. You had people disappearing in the dark. Sometimes that would be your guide throughout the story, and you would find yourself in a place where you had to look for clues in order to progress to the next level. And it was a huge honor for me to not only be one of those first team members to join the show, but also to be a part of creating this, what I consider to be movement in the horror entertainment industry towards the more immersive and interactive shows.
Yeah, but working for a project is entirely different, as many of our listeners know, than starting a project on your own. So why did you make the transition from, you know, working on a very successful team? I'm sure you could have gone with that experience to another team, another project. Why did you choose to take this personal risk and start your own project?
During the years that I was working on Haunted Play Delusion, I also had a chance to work with Leonard Pickle, who is considered the godfather of haunting. He has so many years of experience designing some of the most successful mazes in the United States, as well as the Halloween parties for the likes of the Playboy Mansion. And he also is the founder of the longest-running professional haunters convention. This is a convention designed by haunters for the haunt industry. Working side by side with him and creators like John Braver, I really was inspired by their vision and their willingness to put themselves on the line to create something new for audiences and to create experiences for fans. My background personally is in theater, and as I was going down my own path and my own journey, it really became evident for me that there was a gap in the experiences and something was missing, especially here in the Los Angeles area, that connected the professional and the fan community. This is, for me, where the aha moment came. At first, I thought, well, what if we just brought, you know, a convention like HauntCon out here to Los Angeles? And then the more I thought about it, I realized that really the purpose of any convention is to connect the fans and the professionals and create the next generation of leaders in this industry and the next generation of creators. As part of that, I envisioned a convention that was a lot more immersive and interactive, a convention that really was an experience in and of itself rather than a place where you went to see a bunch of stuff or buy a bunch of stuff, a place that really merges that sense of immersive entertainment, education, and creates awareness around really the talent, effort, and work that goes into producing these highly popular attractions every year. It's been amazing to see the convention grow and unfold over the last 3 years. 2016 is our fourth year of doing the show, and to see how far really we have gone, not only in the way that our audience has grown, but also how much more passionate and enlightened and supportive the community has become as a result. We have seen some very fascinating and successful collaborations occur as a result of people meeting at Scare LA. Some of them were already in the industry, and they just combined their know-how and power to create something greater. And some of them were people who didn't even realize that Halloween or haunting or horror could be a career path for them as well. We have seen things like the serial killer speed dating, which we premiered at Scary Lay last year, take on a life of their own and do events throughout the year that were extremely popular for audiences of all ages. And launching interactive experiences like that really reminds me personally of why we started this in the first place, which was to create and to support each other's visions and to provide a safe and fun environment for anybody with talent and desire to work hard to be able to get the recognition and appreciation they deserve.
Why are you the best person to be doing this? Because a lot of what you're describing, you know, it's a very large vision. I mean, talking about connecting the professional and the fan community and talking about moving in that light and effectively positioning yourself for guiding the new generation of an entire industry. And that's quite a leap from some of your previous projects. So why are you the best person to be doing this?
I have always been a person who is able to connect the dots and see possibilities where others may see obstacles or just something that they're used to. The way my mind works, it always looks at the what ifs and what could we do? What if you combined these two things that may not make sense to put together, like stunts and horror and haunts, for example, and see what they look like in a real life show? So every project that I've taken in the past has really had elements of that, you know, of these surprise combinations. And as I evolved in my personal career from somebody who kind of rose in the corporate world to somebody who was ultimately looking for reconnecting with my passion as a creator, it really came to the realization that the only way to really have the job of my dreams was to create it, because nothing that I really am passionate about or excited about comes in a prepackaged thing like a job or a company that I could just be a part of. So I've learned step by step to listen to my dreams and follow my path and become less and less afraid of standing out from the crowd. I think as individuals, we oftentimes tell ourselves, you know, oh, well, I've always wanted to do this thing, but, you know, for now I'm going to stick with my job because I need the money, or I've always wanted to travel, but, you know, I have kids and, you know, I don't want to, I have all this responsibility. And it became apparent to me that life really is a sequence of decisions like that, in which you either can choose to stick with the norm and what is expected of you and continue down your chosen path, or you could accept that there's another possibility, that if you were to actually take the leap of faith and put your energy behind manifesting one of your visions, this is ultimately a choice that will lead you to a place where you don't have to look back and have any regrets. So for me, it came to a point when, with all the experiences that I'd had and all of the contacts in the industry that I had made and the vision that I had seen for where this industry could go, I didn't see almost another alternative other than to really start something of my own and put myself out there and to gather a group of people that I enjoyed working with and to really give this our best shot. So back in 2012, 2013, I decided to wrap up all of my consulting gigs and put myself 100% behind Scare LA because I thought if I didn't do that and if I didn't give it my all, A, I didn't think it would be successful, and B, I would always have that regret. So speaking of fear, I think in terms of the Halloween industry, it's interesting because I feel like fear outside of monsters and outside of mazes is very much a part of our lives and something that drives us. So very ironically, I overcame my fear of taking a leap of faith and doing something new and original in that industry. So when I first made the decision to do something like Scare LA, the first thing I did is I started reaching out to people that I knew as well as some personal friends of mine to see if this resonated with any of them, people in the industry that I had known for many years, and just floating the idea by them just as a, hey, this is something that I've thought of. What do you think? Would you like to be involved? I wasn't expecting much. If anything, I was expecting them to tell me I'm crazy or this is a huge undertaking or this will never happen. I think partially maybe I was hoping they would talk me out of it. But to my surprise, instead, in a very short time, a small group was formed of people that really believed in that vision and saw it for what it was and even started getting resumes of people that wanted to get involved, which told me that I was onto something, that I had hit a nerve with this community here in Los Angeles and really had tapped into something that was much needed and we just didn't have before. That really gave me the courage to push forward and to actually take that personal leap of faith to see it come to life.
So you had good initial traction, but was there ever a time where you doubted the path that you'd put yourself on?
I think as every entrepreneurial idea, a show like Scare LA is very much a startup. It's very much a business. As we all know, over 85% of startups fail every single year. So to be sitting here 3 years into it and to see how much we have grown and gone forward, it's really amazing. But I will be, you know, doing you a disservice if I said that this was just an easy path. The level of personal risk and fear is always there. It's kind of like I'm one of those people that even when I throw a party, I stress about whether or not people will show up until literally they start coming into the door. And I'm always worried that nobody will come or maybe I don't have enough snacks. So, I mean, multiply this by a million times and you'll get a sense of the size and breadth of something like Scare LA that includes so many moving parts and pieces. So the pressure is on every single year. And ironically, the more successful the show becomes, the scarier it becomes to put it together because the risk is bigger. The budget is bigger, the team grows, the responsibilities are higher. Taking this to the next level year after year, not only operationally in terms of making sure we have the best talent and the best crew on board, but also for my own self as a leader, as somebody that is driving a business and an idea forward, challenging myself to outperform my vision from the year prior has always been a challenge. Finding new ways to innovate so the content doesn't become repetitive and predictable, really thinking about what the trends are and what the potential is moving forward for the show, both in terms of the content and programming, but also in terms of the experience for the guests, in terms of the entire vision for what this could become beyond the initial idea that I had for the show. So I've developed some very interesting ways to deal with my stress. It's actually been a very interesting journey personally. I've started doing a lot more exercising. I don't think I've ever exercised more in my entire life. And I learned to run. I had never been a runner before, but as I was dealing with escalating levels of stress, I found myself needing to increase my activity level so I could find a way to counteract that and wear myself out to the point where I was no longer feeling anxious and I was getting to a place where I could focus and work. And I started with hiking and conquering a small mountain every day, listening to all sorts of inspirational music, like the 8 Mile soundtrack, and really connecting to kind of the part of me that is the go-getter and the person that believes and takes a leap of faith and is not there to give up. In a very similar way, I think everybody in this industry that has ever started a Halloween show or a haunted house has had to deal with some of those stresses. Each one of those productions is a business of its own and an entrepreneurial endeavor. It's been interesting to me to go on this journey and to create this company that is becoming one of the best theme park experiences without having a theme park.
You mentioned some of the parallels between the haunts and in your show, and there definitely are a lot. I agree with you on that. You know, one of the elements of the entrepreneurial journey and haunts and et cetera is acknowledging the evolution of your business or of your event. Was there a specific moment or several moments where you had to acknowledge that certain pieces of your show have evolved and you had to do something to take into account that evolution?
Every year, I kind of start with the kind of optimistic idea that we have finally figured it out, that we now have a formula of success that we can just continue to replicate and move forward. And every year, I learn something completely new about what it takes to run a business, what it takes to put the show together, that is oftentimes a surprise to me. I mean, year number one really was about proving that we could make this and that there is enough demand here in the SoCal area for a show like Scarolet. Once that was done, it really became about, okay, well, we had a successful show. It went well. People obviously like it. and they showed up to support us. So how do we make this bigger and better for them? So everything from changing the venue to a actual convention center with a much bigger show floor and operations, down to over this past year, building out the Scarolet team with professional level teammates to take our programming to the next level has been something that I've had to continuously keep on my radar and really kind of ask myself, what is the best thing that's in the interest of the show and the community, and then go from there. The survey that we do after every year's convention always opens my eyes to other areas that we have not even thought about growing in. And that includes, for example, escape rooms, which have become a much more kind of popular experience here in the Los Angeles area, as well as kind of growing our interactive footprint so that we can make sure that we solidify ourselves as the leader in that nationwide. We have surprised ourselves with some of the things we've been able to accomplish. And in, for example, last year's show, we were able to set the record for the largest number of people opening Halloween candy at the same time. And really kind of figuring and discovering and rediscovering how what happens during Halloween can have so many aspects and so many facets that we oftentimes forget about. I think for some of us, Halloween is about movies. For some of us, it's about haunted houses. For others, it's about trick-or-treating and candy and jack-o'-lanterns. And ultimately, each of those areas, and there's so many others, including comics and cosplay, each of those areas in and of itself is a world that could take an entire convention. So adding all of these layers to the Scarelay experience and finding what's a better way for them to all be integrated together has been one of the biggest learning curves. For this year, for example, for the first time ever, we are theming our entire event. It's Season of the Witch, and we've invited everybody to cast the dark spell on Los Angeles this summer. And throughout that, we have woven a thread of kind of mysticism and dark magic and being able to believe in the impossible that we think sends a very powerful message beyond Halloween to audiences and attendees that we think can resonate with them on a personal level in whatever aspect and walk of life they come from.
So you had talked earlier about life being a series of decisions and needing to take a leap and sometimes to make personal risks. Definitely as haunters can relate and as the entrepreneurial journey goes, you kind of start down a rabbit hole and you keep following that path and you get a little bit hardened to taking these decisions because you're already moving down this path. So you're just, you know, the decisions come greater and greater. Has there been a recent example of a personal risk that you want to share with us that you have taken?
As much as I would like to say, it doesn't become easier to take that risk every year, to put everything on the line on an event that takes place over the course of 2 days and ultimately is kind of a make it or break it weekend. So I think, if anything, I've learned to keep myself going, because one of the biggest things and the scariest things in this world, I think, is doubt and our own kind of fear of failure and self-criticism. The biggest challenge that I've faced personally and especially recently is kind of learning to continuously move forward. I think at every step of the way, a bigger obstacle comes and there's always surprises and things don't always go the way that they're planned. But just working to overcome my own self-doubt in this process has been probably one of the biggest personal challenges that I've had to struggle with. I think we all, at least I personally, place a lot of high demands and expectations on myself, and sometimes I'm my worst critic. So it's hard for me to ever feel like I have accomplished success, because as soon as I do, I look forward and I see what the next step is and how I can make this bigger. And I feel like, yes, it's great and great, but it still needs to be bigger. It still needs to be better. It's never good enough. And part of that, I mean, this is kind of one of the things for 2016, that pushing forward and adding a lot more interactive elements and a lot more original programming that is created specifically by Scarelay for attendee goers was the biggest kind of risk, because now we're not only featuring some amazing content that has a proven track record, but we're also launching our own entertainment that is extremely different and original and something that people have never seen before, and putting kind of our eggs in those baskets and trying to kind of hope for the best is one example of some of the personal risks that I have taken over the course of 2016. Our team as well has grown and is much bigger than it has ever been before, so I have reached out farther to really bring together an amazing group of people who are thought leaders in their own, and working with them to build not only an event, but also a team and a company culture that is inviting and is supportive has been really tremendous. I guess one example I could give from kind of my recent past is that both me and several of my team members from the Scarelay team recently became targets of bullying, and it was an extremely kind of stressful and surreal experience, especially for some of us who, you know, we are grown-ups, we've been around the block, and to kind of experience bullying as adults was a very kind of shocking scenario that was extremely unexpected, very surprising, and it really got me to the point where I started becoming fearful of taking those next steps in growing the event and pushing forward and still believing in a vision when the world started seeming like a so much less friendly place. One of the things I really had to remind myself was the fact that at the onset, what we started creating with Scarelay was a place of comfort and safety and love. And it came from a place of, again, love for this community and for this craft and this art and for this phenomenon that we call Halloween on a very basic level. I mean, it is the day out of the year where you get to be anything and anyone you want to be and should feel free of judgment and harassment. So when some of those ugly things started rearing their heads, to my surprise, it took me a lot of effort to overcome kind of my personal fear of pushing forward and to really reconnect with the part of me that was that kid that just wanted to play and wanted to explore and have fun with her friends. And looking back, that adversity really created also an incredible opportunity. For the first time, Scarlet in 2016 will actually be donating a portion of its proceeds to nonprofits, specifically ones that work in the area of anti-bullying and raising awareness around harassment. So we've actually been able to take something really negative that some of our team members experienced and turn it into a source of what I would say is kind of light and hope for the future, that we can all as a community stay strong together and continue to come together and not only have fun, but also ultimately rethink the way that we interact with each other, not just on Halloween, but on every day of the year. I think sometimes we forget that behind every mask, there is a face, and behind every face, there is a heart and a soul. And ultimately, all of us want to be respected and appreciated for what we do, for the things that we create. And when that's not always there, I can say it's certainly very difficult. I do hope that if anything, as a result of this recent experience, that we've really been able to kind of pop the lid to so many other possibilities of how we can create a better cosplaying and a better entertainment community for us all.
We're nearing the end of our time here today, but the last question I have for you is about Halloween. Everybody that is listening to this, that is in this industry, we do it because we have a little bit of a love affair going on with Halloween. So tell me, what does Halloween mean to you?
For me, Halloween is the expression of ultimate freedom. It really is freedom and non-judgment. It's the day and the holiday of the year in which we have the opportunity to reinvent ourselves, to completely transform ourselves, to give a flight to some of our wildest dreams and fantasies and ambitions, whether that means being a zombie for a day or transforming ourselves into a furry animal or a witch and just looking at the world in a way that is no longer limited by who we are as people, what we're wearing and who our friends are, what we work, what our jobs are. It also is going back to the idea of acceptance and liberty. It symbolizes the day that we can all come together and forgive each other and not judge each other and not look at each other critically, but really celebrate and really set aside those labels that we're so used to and pressured to put on each other and see ourselves and our friends and people on the streets as who we really are.
Thanks for listening to the very end. Scarlet is offering 20% off general admission, Fear Freak, Scare Student, and Party tickets to our listeners. Use the code HANSCARE, that's HANSCARE, at checkout to use your code. Haunting the Globe is hosted by me, Philip Hernandez, and is produced by the Haunted Attraction Network. Today's episode was edited by Mike Migas. Chris Thomas wrote and performed our theme song. Additional music and vocals from Music Radio Creative. For show notes and to give us episode ideas, text the code HAUNTING to the number 33444. To subscribe to the podcast, go to iTunes or check out our website at www.hauntedattractionnetwork.com. Thanks for listening.
This is a Haunted Attraction Network production. Achieve more with all our products at www.hauntedattractionnetwork.com.